Hello and welcome to episode 178 of Informed Choice Radio, where I speak to Kalpana Fitzpatrick, founder of Mummy Money Matters.
I think there's a lot of complex information out there and it isn't specifically targeted towards mums, yet mums are in charge of so many financial decisions in the household. Mums do tend to control the household finances quite a lot. But I'm not just talking about everyday budgeting. There are other things like, you know, looking after the children's savings, paying bills, etc. Financial education is hugely important for children. I think it's a lesson that really needs to begin at home.
Sundial House Studios in Cranley, welcome to Informed Choice Radio. This is the podcast all about achieving your financial goals in life. Here's your host, Martin Bamford.
My guest on the podcast today is Kalpana Fitzpatrick, founder of Mummy Money Matters. Kalpana is an experienced financial journalist and broadcaster who started her blog after she discovered that mums were often overlooked and kept out of the loop when it comes to money. As well as editing and writing for Mummy Money Matters, Kalpana appears regularly in the media as an expert commentator on personal finance and is often seen on television. She was recently shortlisted for the Women in Journalism Awards and the National Press Awards 2016, and also the runner-up for the Personal Finance Blog of the Year at the Showmos, the Money Bloggers Awards 2016. Kalpana is extremely passionate about making finance simple and accessible, as well as helping consumers make the most of their money. As a parent herself, Kalpana often found that families were presented with jargon, making finance unnecessarily complicated, resulting in many missing out on entitlements and putting their money in poor returning products. In this episode of Informed Choice Radio, I speak to Kalpana about why mums are often overlooked when it comes to personal finances, the importance of financial education for children, favourite ways to scrimp and save money, why women should have a freedom fund, and much more. You can find the show notes, full transcript and useful links for this episode at icradio.co.uk. If you enjoy listening, and I hope you do, please let me know on Twitter at Martin Bamford. I'd love to hear from you. Please also say thank you to Kalpana on Twitter, where you can find her at Mum Money Matters. I'd also massively appreciate your review of this podcast on iTunes. Visit icradio.co.uk/iTunes to leave us a review, and we'll read it out in a future episode. Welcome to Mummy Money Matters with Kalpana Fitzpatrick in episode 178 of Informed Choice Radio. Can I start by asking you what inspired you to get involved in financial journalism and broadcasting?
Good question. I'm not sure if I actually was inspired to go into financial journalism, but I was certainly inspired to go into journalism. I loved writing and I'm quite talkative, so... And I actually fell into financial journalism, I think. Really, I started working for a pensions company, looking around for a journalism job, and I managed to get a job on a title called Pensions Week. And there you go. And then that triggered it all. And then I went into freelancing, launched Mummy Money Matters as well, which is my blog. And since then, I've also been doing a little bit of TV and radio work as well.
So how long has the blog been going for?
So the blog's been going for about 3 years now.
Okay.
And so that's I cover personal finance on that. And off the back of that, I do a lot of TV and radio stuff, which I really absolutely enjoy. And yeah, so that's been going for quite a while. And I've been having quite a big focus on that as well.
Fantastic. And today we're talking about mums and money. So could you start by explaining why are mums often overlooked and sometimes kept out of the loop entirely when it comes to money matters?
Yeah, absolutely. One, I think there's a lot of complex information out there and it isn't specifically targeted towards mums, yet mums are in charge of so many financial decisions in the household. So when I become a mum, what I found that I was looking in a zillion places to get all the information I wanted. And it wasn't spoken to me as a mum. And I don't mean, you know, I'm not asking about dumbed down information. I want intelligent information. And what I also found is, like, sometimes, you know, if you, when we went to apply for a mortgage, I always found that the person would always talk to my husband as though I was irrelevant. And so, yeah, I think, you know, there is a great need for information, a one-stop shop for information where mums can go to get all the information that they need that's relevant to them as well, and in an easy, understandable, easy to digest way as well.
And you're the ambassador for Global Money Week, which is all about financial education. What makes financial education so important for children?
Well, financial education is hugely important for children. Now, financial literacy, I mean, we have that in schools for slightly older children, but I think it's what's so important about it is, one, I think it's a lesson that really needs to begin at home. So the parents need to get involved. And the number of children that grow up not knowing how to save, not to know how to spend wisely, and even things like encouraging them to become entrepreneurs, learning about investing. It's what people, when they think about financial education, what they think, oh, actually, this is about giving your child a maths lesson. I don't think it's that. It's really getting them to appreciate money, understand how it works, and knowing how to save as well. Because I think, you know, I mean, we see it today. We have millions and millions of people in the UK now in debt. And those adults will say, I wish someone had told me about how money works. So I think we're now in a position where we can change that and help the younger generation so that when they grow up, they do know about money and they do understand how it works. They know how to, you know, when they go into the world of work, it's important that they can read their pay slip. It's important that they know what it means to pay into a pension. And, you know, the list can go on forever. But financial literacy is something I support massively. And Global Money Week is actually doing an excellent job. It's global, so it's really pushing a message out and they get a lot of companies, organisations involved as well. And just so you know, Global Money Week actually runs on the 27th of March to the 2nd of April. And yeah, and a lot of schools get involved as well. So it's actually, you know, really raising the awareness of it as well.
It's a great initiative, and we're a big supporter here of financial education, financial literacy.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I'm really passionate about it, and it does go back to one of the reasons I've sort of been working closely with them, because I would like more parents to be involved in financial education. And I'll just give you an example. Like when I was younger, what triggered my interest in finance, I guess, was when my dad took me down the high street and we went to various banks and we got to choose our freebie. And I mean, it was all about what freebie we'd get, obviously. But it, you know, it triggered something, because we got this little book and it showed how much money was going into it. And I just loved watching that money grow. And so I was really encouraged to save. So when I started working at age 16 as well, what I did was, you know, put some money away. I spent some money. And yeah, so I think I would have been in a totally different position today otherwise.
It is those experiences, isn't it, during childhood, which often stick with us the rest of our lives. And I remember my first savings account and getting my piggy banks and things. And yeah. I think that has created a savings habit for me. Now, some of our listeners will recognise your voice because you are the financial journalist for Channel 4's Super Scrimpers TV show. What were your favourite ways to scrimp and save?
I will say I did grow up in quite a thrifty household. My mum was always really thrifty. I didn't really understand why she would do it, but now I do, obviously. One of my things I like to do is it's really hard. It's a very psychological thing, I think, when it comes to scrimping. But really, just I think one of the best things you can do is when don't impulse buy, which I did used to do occasionally, and now I've totally stopped. So if there is something you want, don't just go and buy it. Have a think about it, sleep on it, because the next day you might find that, actually, no, I don't want it. And, you know, a lot of people can probably relate to this, because what they'll say is, actually, yeah, I bought that a couple of months ago. I've never used it. I don't know why I wasted my money. So it's good to sleep on things, I think.
That's a great tip, I think. Just put a bit of distance between the impulse and the actual buying decision.
Exactly. And also, like, if you're in the shop and you see something and you really want it, well, first ask yourself, you know, if you can you actually afford it? And, you know, how many hours would you have to work to be able to afford it? Is it worth it? I mean, really just question things a bit more.
Absolutely. Now, you're a great believer in financial independence for women, and I read your Huffington Post article last year about why every woman should have, and this podcast has a clean rating on iTunes, so I'm going to say an F-off fund. Could you explain to us what that is and why it's so important for women to have? And Matt, the producer, can always bleep in things if you want to give it its proper title.
That's all right. That's okay. I hate swearing anyway, so don't worry.
Likewise.
Yes, absolutely. I really am a great believer in financial independence for women. So last year, I wrote a piece in the Huffington Post about why every woman should have an F-off fund. Now, so one, why do I think women should be able to be independent? Well, I believe that every woman should be able to stand on her own two feet. And if she finds herself in a situation where she has to leave, so whether this be her partner, it could be a job that you feel you're stuck in, and you're not happy for whatever reason, women sometimes, you know, they get sexually abused, whatever it is, violence, whatever it is, you need to be able to say, actually, you know what, get lost, I'm walking out that door, but be able to walk out and support yourself. And money holds people back, because, I mean, I've heard of people say, I'm not in a very good relationship, I want to leave, but actually, if I leave, I'll have nowhere to live, I haven't got a job, I haven't got any savings, I've got nothing to fall back on, so I'm going to stay put. So really, it's giving women that independent foothold, really, and say, have the confidence to walk away from something if they need to, without the worry of having money. And yes, really, I think every woman should save. And you know, even if you're in a happy relationship, it doesn't matter, because that money can go towards your retirement fund when you get older. So don't see it as a waste of time and effort, just do it.
So how does it differ from an emergency fund, for example? Is it a bit of an extension of your emergency fund for a slightly different purpose?
Well, one, I do consider an F-off fund as a secret stash of savings. That's the, I suppose that is actually a key element of it. You don't need to tell anyone you've got it. You don't need to tell your partner that you've got it. It's just your little secret stash of money, and keep it secret. You know, it's not an emergency fund. It is literally what I'm calling it, an F-off fund.
How should mums approach their personal finances differently to the rest of us? Are there different attributes to personal financial planning for people who find themselves mothers?
One of the things, I think, for mums in particular, I mean, mums do tend to control the household finances quite a lot. So, but I'm not just talking about everyday budgeting. There are other things like, you know, looking after the children's savings, paying bills, etc. But what they tend to do is forget about their own savings. And what I think mums need to take a little step back and say, actually, I need to put some money aside for myself. And now, one of the biggest things I find mums not doing is saving for old age. And that's a sacrifice. That's one of the biggest sacrifices mums make, is saving for a pension. You know, they change their career path, whether they go self-employed, part-time, or not work at all, whatever it is. It seems that pensions is put aside. And what I'd like to do is mums to actually turn that around, no matter what they're doing, put some money aside for retirement.
We often hear that women, especially mums, suffer from a real pensions gap. Are there any particular steps that mums can take when they're planning for retirement, other than just making sure they put some money aside?
So what mums tell me is they don't put money aside for pension because they really just don't have much of it, and it's being used elsewhere, you know, whether it be childcare or just, you know, putting money aside for the children. So one, if you're a stay-at-home mum, what I would say is ask your partner to contribute to a pension fund for you. You know, if you look at the work that you're doing at home, and if you were going to work. So really, I think it's okay to ask your partner to pay into a pension fund for you. If you're self-employed and your earnings might not be consistent, and a lot of mums say, actually, I don't get a regular paycheck, so it's really hard to put money into a pension, then I think you should still put in lump sums as and when you can. And obviously, if you're working, then definitely take advantage of a workplace pension, because obviously you'll get benefit from employer contributions as well. So, yeah, so, you know, just I think the main thing is just make sure you are putting something aside. I'm really passionate about that. And it's the one thing that I just find mums saying to me over and over again, I just don't know what I'm doing with my pension. I just don't have one. And don't rely on state pension, because people think, well, I'll get a state pension, but you won't necessarily get a state pension. Well, you might not get the full state pension, and it's not going to be enough even if you do.
No, it definitely doesn't go very far. One of the reasons that mums often suffer from a pension gap is because the time they take off work for raising children. The cost of childcare is often in the news quite often. How can mums work out whether it makes financial sense to return to work after having children?
I mean, this is one of the hardest part of having child is the cost of childcare. And we're not talking about a few hundred pounds here and there, we're talking about a few thousand pounds. So when mums go back to work, a lot of them decide, actually, my childcare costs more than what I'm bringing home, so I'm going to stop working. Now, personally, I don't think if women are happy with their careers and they love their jobs and they want to go back to work, I would say, even with the high childcare costs, consider the next few years as an investment. Bite the bullet and keep your jobs, keep your career going, because it won't last forever. I mean, there's always going to be a certain expense of childcare, but it's the nursery days that are the most expensive. Now, if for some reason you feel that you don't want to go back to work, I mean, you can negotiate working part-time with your employer. You might decide that, actually, no, I don't even like my job, I might change. So if that happens, a lot of mums, what they do is actually launch their own businesses, they go self-employed. But definitely, I would plan for that, you know, as soon as you know you're having a baby, etc. Think about, you know, you have a year off in your maternity leave, etc. Think about what you're going to do. A lot of mums, what they do is make that decision last minute when they realise how much the childcare cost is. And then they're like, actually, oh, this isn't working out, I'm going to stop working. So I think really, you know, budget and plan for this. Think about where you want to go. But I would say if you love your career, you love your job, bite the bullet and keep your career and job going, basically.
I think that's good
advice. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes real sense. And there's some really good non-financial considerations, aren't there, why you should return to work, even if it is costing you some money.
Exactly. And also, things are going to change. I think it's September, if I'm correct in saying this. You know, we'll get 30 hours free childcare. There's going to be a new tax system coming in. So things will change. Whether it makes you financially better off or not, I don't know. So, keep your career going. Don't give up if you don't want to give up.
When I was doing some research for this interview, I came across a term I don't think I'd heard before, and that was the pink tax. So could you tell us about this? This is women who tend to get a poorer deal when it comes to buying things than men get. So what's the pink tax all about?
So the pink tax is basically... So I'm going to give razors as an example. And I think when I wrote my article about it, I used razors as an example. So if women go to the shops and they buy a packet of razors and they'll cost a lot more just because they're pink, but you could just buy like Bic razors, for example, but you could just buy the basic yellow ones and they'll be a fraction of the price. Mm. So I think quite often, you know, things are just costing more because they're aimed at women and the product isn't actually all that different, if that makes sense.
It does. So
why is that the case? Because I think companies feel that they can get away with this and I think it's wrong. I mean, even like girls items, I think, you know, if you go to the shops, you might buy a pink bike and for some reason it costs more than your standard blue bike or something. So I would like to question companies as to why they do this. And I think, you know, people like me, when they write about it, obviously brings it to attention. And I don't know, I think maybe girls are more materialistic. I think companies just, they feel like they can get away with it, and they are getting away with it.
Well, I'm certainly going to keep my eyes open each time I go to the shops now.
Look
for things that are pink and see how much more expensive they are.
So I was just going to say, we already suffer a gender pay gap. So I think it's, you know, absolutely wrong that companies are doing this.
Thank you so much for your time today. That was fantastic. How can our listeners find out more about you and where can they find your website?
Sure. My website is mummymoneymatters.com. I'm also, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter and YouTube. My Twitter handle is @CalpinaFitz. And @MumMoneyMatters. And if you just search Calpena Fitzpatrick on YouTube, you'll find me on there as well.
Fantastic. We'll make sure we put links to all of those in the show notes too, so our listeners can find you nice and easy. Thank you for your time today. That was wonderful.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you to Kalpana for appearing as a guest on Informed Choice Radio today. If you're a mum who's listening to this episode, I'd love to hear from you. What are your top personal finance challenges as a mother? Let me know on Twitter at Martin Bamford or in the comments section for the show notes for this episode at icradio.co.uk. That's also where you can find useful links and you can download a full transcript for this episode. Don't forget also to say a quick thank you to Kalpana on Twitter, where you can find her there at Mum Money Matters. I would also love your review of Informed Choice Radio on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. Visit icradio.co.uk/iTunes or icradio.co.uk/Stitcher. That'll take you straight to our pages on those platforms where you can leave your rating and review. Thank you for listening to this episode and thank you for your continued support of this podcast. Until next time, I've been Martin Bamford and this has been Informed Choice Radio. And remember, when it comes to your money, the more you know, the faster it can grow.